This is Fantasy Sports Today, coming at you live from here inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. I'm Chris Meany, riding solo today, but that doesn't mean we don't have good guests, because we do. Mike Taglieri from Pro Football Focus is going to join us. We're going to talk about some of his favorite plays in DFS, also some of his favorite fades. I know everybody always wants to talk about their plays. Who are you going to play in Daily Fantasy Sports this weekend? Well, who are you going to sit? Who are you going to avoid? We'll talk with Mike about that. Talk to Mike about that in a little bit. Also, some DFS basketball. DJ Trainer is going to join us from RotoWire. He's got some fades as well. Only a few games in the NBA tonight, eight games, but there are some star-studded plays up at the top in terms of pricing. Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, DeMarcus Cousins as well, who apparently wants to fight everybody. It was one to fight Joseph Randle the other day. That's a pretty good shot if you haven't checked that out. But first, I'm going to come at you with some news and notes. And just a reminder, we are live. And the biggest thing with some of these guys that I'm going to talk about, just they have to get on the football field today. A lot of these guys are limited, but I also kind of want to talk about the Thursday night football game from last night. I don't want to get into too much detail about it. The Cleveland Browns are who we thought they were. A lot of people thought maybe that they could just cover this spread, or that there was the best chance for them to win a football game last night in Baltimore. Maybe they have one more shot later on in the season against Buffalo, but they do play Pittsburgh two more times this year. This team may just go undefeated, or winless, rather. Undefeated, imagine that. 28-7 Baltimore. Cody Kessler started this football game. Hugh Jackson said that, you know, the reason he benched him in the second half was because he thought Josh McCown gave them the best chance to win. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why not start him if they gave him the best chance to win? Nonetheless, the biggest takeaway for me in that football game was Kenneth Dixon. He looked real good yesterday. You know, 80 total yards. He had yards on the ground. He had yards in the air. Six carries, 38 yards, five receptions on seven targets for 42. As I mentioned, 80 total. He's widely available across the board. Not a lot of people really felt confident starting him, but still, ownership is really, really low on this guy. 19% in Yahoo, hovering around the same mark in NFL.com leagues, as well as ESPN. So not a great schedule moving forward, but just somebody to keep an eye on. I think that we'll really see him excel here in the second half, and he's probably going to be somebody that we'll talk about a lot in the offseason as somebody that you'll probably want to draft. But just you notice, once that run game gets going a little bit in Baltimore, that opens up things in the air, you know, for guys like Steve Smith and Wallace as well. Todd Gurley. Wednesday, he didn't practice. Apparently, it was just precautionary. Well, Thursday, he didn't practice, and you know what? He's dealing with a thigh injury. So, again, we're live here. This is going to air a little bit later on. You'll have to check to see if this guy was on the football field today, because that's the biggest news. It's not a great matchup against the Jets. It's really tough, actually. You know what? Benny Cunningham, is this guy going to be involved? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Maybe they don't stack the box against him because he's not as talented as Todd Gurley, but I don't think it's somebody that you're going to want to start anyways. A lot of talk if you should buy low on Todd Gurley. I say why. I mean, yes, he has San Francisco week 16, but you have to get to week 16 to even see that matchup in fantasy football playoffs. So why bother with this guy? Do you even want him? 85 yards is the most he's had in a game this year. As you see there, he only has three rushing touchdowns. 3.1 yards per carry is not great. He does have New Orleans week 12. Just keep an eye on this situation. If he does play and you have him, you're starting him because he's Todd Gurley, and it would just, I'm supposed you'd just be burned if he was on your bench and he had a great game. Finally, you'd just be banging your head against the wall. What am I doing not starting Todd Gurley? Nonetheless, keep an eye on the situation. Rob Kelly, apparently, he's going to be the starting running back for Washington this week, and there's some reports, really. Gruden had said he's the guy, the first-string guy. There's some reports also in Washington that Matt Jones is just going to be a healthy scratch in this football game. Last time the Washington Redskins were playing, I know they're coming off a bye, he didn't play because he had the foot injury. And you know what? The week before that, he fumbled in the end zone, and he was just getting all of his carries taken away to begin with. So Rob Kelly, you know, you might not like this matchup against Minnesota, but let me tell you what. Jordan Howard, 26 carries in the last game he played, Minnesota played, went up against Howard. 26 for 153, four receptions, 49 yards, had a monster game. And if you look at Minnesota not giving up a lot to running backs, they haven't played really anybody good. Lacy early in the season, Cameron Artis Payne with Fozzie Whitaker, Orleans Darkwa with Perkins and Rainey. There was no Jennings, there was no Stewart. Alfred Blue, Miller was banged up, didn't play a lot. The Philadelphia backfield, which is a mess. So they haven't really went up against anybody spectacular. So if Rob Kelly's going to get 20 to 25 touches in this football game, you go ahead and you start him. He's an RB2. Carlos Hyde, dealing with a shoulder injury, AC joint. He didn't play last week. It was an AC joint, the sprain. It hasn't even been cleared for contact. But he's optimistic that he's going to play in this game, which is crazy to me because he's yet to be cleared for contact. He's still practicing in a non-contact jersey. I think I need to see him in a contact jersey to play him this weekend. That leaves the door open for DeJuan Harris, who had a really good game last week. I know it was a great matchup against the Saints, but he can catch the ball in the backfield. This isn't a fantastic matchup, but if he's going to be the starter and there's going to be no Carlos Hyde against Arizona, again, much like Kelly, you just go ahead and you play this guy. If I'm a Carlos Hyde owner, I really don't want him to play. I don't want him to just go in there and not be 100%, re-injure the shoulder, and then I don't have him for the rest of the season. So that's not great news either. Just another situation to keep an eye on. We will be live here on Fantasy Sports Network 11 to 1 up until kickoff. Pat Mayo, myself, perhaps Gary and Thorne, we'll talk about a lot of these, you know, questionable guys' injuries, and hopefully we'll just have some more news on them going forward. Again, today is the big day. Friday is always the big day. When some of these guys don't get on the football field today, that's certainly concerning heading into Sunday. Deion Lewis, a lot of reports out of New England, especially from LeGarrette Blount, that Deion Lewis is awesome, man. You get this guy the ball in the space. He's fantastic. He's calling out his boy James White. Today, Bill Belichick is saying, listen, the quote here, it would have to take quite a bit for Lewis to pass White on the depth chart. He's not even activated from the PUP list yet. New England playing Seattle this weekend. Belichick had a lot of nice things to say about James White. We know that Deion Lewis is fantastic. We know last year in the first few weeks of the season, he was a top 10 running back in standard leagues. He is great, but he's coming off that big knee injury. New England has no reason to really rush this guy. And I think that now this means if you're in a bit of a pinch, you're playing in a deep PPR league, you're looking for a flex spot, James White could be something and someone that you can plug in and be okay. I wouldn't start Deion Lewis. I know that he's $3,000 on DraftKings. I know he's the bare minimum on FanDuel. I understand that, but I feel like he's going to just play maybe if he's even activated in this game and active, I feel like he only plays like a handful of snaps. So just pump the brakes on Lewis. He certainly is rosterable. You go ahead and you pick him up. Roll through these last few in just about a minute here. Dolphins wide receivers Kenny Stills is dinged up. Jarvis Landry's dinged up day-to-day with a shoulder injury. I haven't heard anything about them before we came on the show here, but they've missed practice. They've been limited all week. So just keep an eye on that situation. It's certainly not good. Deshaun Jackson, some reports out of Washington that this guy's already ruled out with a shoulder injury. Jamison Crowder is the guy that you want here. Back-to-back 100-yard games from Crowder. He's got 4 touchdowns on the season. Deshaun Jackson hasn't been doing anything. So just go ahead and I would think about really dropping him. I mean, Marcus Lee is a guy that's available that's getting more play. Deshaun Jackson's a big threat ability. He can give you those big games, but Jamison Crowder's just been more consistent. Keep an eye on Tevin Coleman, another guy who hasn't practiced this week, but some reports out of Atlanta that he could suit up on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. I wouldn't play him. I would just, again, it's all about today, but I just wouldn't play this guy. I don't think he's 100%. It's all about Devontae Freeman in that game. D'Angelo Williams had knee surgery. He's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. And if you're in a bad situation and you need a running back to start this week, I would just drop this guy. But if you're in a playoff spot and you're sitting comfortable, he still is a great handcuff. We know when Le'Veon Bell was out last season, D'Angelo Williams was a top 4 running back. My biggest handcuff right now is Alfred Morris. This guy should not be on your waiver wire. If anything happens to Zeke Elliott, you have yourself an RB1. And then some basketball news before we wrap up here. Gordon Dragic left yesterday's game with an ankle injury. He was seen in a walking boot last night. The x-rays are negative, so that's good news. But Tyler Johnson is a guy that people should pick up. His ownership has really skyrocketed over the past couple days in every single format, Yahoo, ESPN, whatever you do playing. But just keep an eye on him in terms of daily fantasy. I know he's coming off the bench, but he's been really good off the bench. It's only a matter of time before he still steps in for Deion Waiters. 14-8 yesterday. He can get you a 3, can get you some boards and some assists as well as the points. That's it for your news. Again, keep an eye on what's going to happen today at practice. Mike Taglieri is in here next, Pro Football Focus. We're going to talk some DFS, some of his favorite plays and some of his fades. Keep your locked right here on Fantasy Sports Network. Welcome back inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. This is FST Live. Chris Meany riding solo with you. But Mike Taglieri is about to join me from Pro Football Focus. Mike is a fantastic follow. You see him all the time on Fantasy Sports Network. Mike, welcome to the show, buddy. How's it going?
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a shame that I missed Ashley. It seems like she ducked out when she saw that I was on the schedule, but it's good to be here with you, Chris.
I told her not to take Fridays off. That's when we get the best guests, so that's her own fault. But yeah, you and I are going to talk about some fades, some locks. Everybody's always talking DFS about the plays. A lot of times people don't want to talk about the people to avoid, and you've recently wrote an article on both aspects, guys to play and guys to fade in daily fantasy sports, and people can check that out on profootballfocus.com. But I want to know a little secret, a couple secrets for me, a couple tidbits. I know on Fantasy Pros contest, I did okay last week, and I was asked to write about a lock, and in brackets it said, anybody not named David Johnson. So we'll just kind of avoid him. We know he's in a great matchup. We know he's awesome. But who else, who's the big lock for you, somebody that you're going to play in a lot of your lineups this weekend?
Kelvin Benjamin is one of my favorite plays of the week. You know, this is the first time in his career where he's gone four games without scoring a touchdown. The first time. And Cam Newton has struggled a little bit, but it's not on Benjamin. Benjamin ranks as our number 17 wide receiver at PFF this year, right behind Odell Beckham. So it's definitely not on him. The matchup is perfect. You know, they're back at home. They're playing against the Kansas City team that's going to be able to stop the run a little bit better. They have Justin Houston looks like he's going to be back. Jonathan Stewart's going to struggle to run the ball. They're going to throw a little bit. So I project Cam Newton to throw for two or three touchdowns. And by doing that, when you look at the tight end position, because you're always got to be worried about Greg Olsen, right? The Chiefs have only, over the last 2 years, they've only allowed four touchdowns to the tight end position. So even if Greg Olsen sneaks in one, that's all he's getting. Greg Olsen's not having a monster game. He's actually a fade to me. But Kelvin Benjamin against this Chiefs team that's allowed 13 passing touchdowns in their last five games, I like Kelvin Benjamin to score one, maybe two touchdowns.
And a lot of people are kind of down on him because, you know, the first couple weeks he was getting the double-digit touchdowns. I think it's somebody that, you know, people could probably acquire and maybe get for cheap. I mean, are you into buying low on Kelvin Benjamin?
Yes, he was in my article to buy low this week. Absolutely. The targets are there. Ever since that one game against Minnesota where he was held catchless, Cam Newton came out after the game and said that is not going to happen again. Since that time, Kelvin Benjamin has garnered 40 targets in the last five games. So the foundation is strong there. He's getting the targets. He's actually gone over 70 yards in his last four games, I think it is. So, you know, everything is there. You can't predict touchdowns, but when somebody's 6'5", he'll get him.
Yeah, no doubt. And when he was healthy in his rookie season, he was like sixth in the league in targets. So they certainly have a connection. You mentioned Greg Olsen being a little bit of a fade for you. So I assume Cam Newton, you mentioned a couple touchdowns, but maybe not the quarterback that you want to play this weekend. Who are you looking for a quarterback?
Well, yeah, I would definitely, I mean, I'm not against Cam because with his legs, he can always run for a touchdown. He's got a high floor, we'll just say that. But one player that I'm talking about in DFS this week would be Marcus Mariota. I don't know what happened with the algorithm for pricing this week, but he is dirt cheap. He's only 5,700. But another play that you want to talk about as a contrarian option is Ben Roethlisberger. And a lot of people want to talk about the fact that Ben Roethlisberger, that he was bad last week. Guys, I want you guys to know that that's who Ben Roethlisberger is on the road. That was a typical game for Ben Roethlisberger on the road. Over his last 3 years, Ben Roethlisberger has averaged over 30 fantasy points at home, 17 fantasy points away. Dallas is coming to Pittsburgh without two of their starters on defense. Morris Claiborne is typically the one that shadows opposing number one wide receivers, so they really don't have an answer for Antonio Brown this week. On top of that, they're missing Barry Church. He's one of their safeties. This Dallas defense is going to show its holes, and Ben Roethlisberger is a fantastic, fantastic play.
And you're right about the home and away splits. I mean, even when he was healthy in Philadelphia, they weren't able to get a touchdown. It's a thing that he just struggles on the road. Do you think if that game gets into a shootout and they have their way with Dallas, can Dak keep up?
He's really stepped up. Dak has really surprised me. I'm a big Tony Romo fan. I think Tony Romo has been underrated his entire career. I actually have gone on to say that I think Tony Romo is a top 15 all-time quarterback. But with that being said, there's no way that you could bench Dak Prescott with the way he's playing right now. What he's done this season, I think he deserves MVP consideration because he's playing with a rookie in the backfield. I know it's Ezekiel Elliott. He was playing without Dez Bryant for, you know, 70% of the season. He's playing with 40-year-old Jason Witten. he's just done magical. And outside of his first game of the year where he played on the road in a divisional game, he has scored at least 18 fantasy points in every single game. So Dak Prescott, he can absolutely hang. This is one week where Ezekiel Elliott's going to have to be more involved in the passing game.
You mentioned Greg Olsen being a fade. You also mentioned Jason Witten being 40 years old. Maybe he's the guy that you want to play at tight end, or is there somebody else that you're looking to play?
No, there is somebody else I'm looking to play, and that would be Zach Ertz. I know a lot of people might hear that and think, Mike, have you gone off your rocker? And and I probably would have said the same thing a couple weeks ago. He looked like he left for dead. But this week, not just once, but twice, they've talked about it. They want to get Zach Ertz the ball more. And not just that, but they've shown it. He's seen 12 targets over his last two games. He's caught all 12 of them. So he doesn't even need any more than six targets to be productive as a tight end. If you look at the matchup against Atlanta, I got a stat for you. Any tight end that has seen more than one target against Atlanta, here's their DraftKings point totals. 17, 26.9, 19.6, 14.9, 8.8, and 15.3.
Wow.
There was just one tight end this year that scored less than 8.8 points against them, and that was John Phillips and Richard Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Richard Rodgers. I mean, we're not talking about last year's Richard Rodgers when he's getting all those, like, two catches and he would find the end zone. That's a really good stat, man. Yeah, I'm in on Zach Ertz, too, and if this game's going to be a shootout, you imagine Philadelphia's going to have to throw the ball a little bit to try to play catch-up with Atlanta. We only got about a minute and a half. I want to get to a running back that you're not feeling this weekend and maybe a wide receiver, and I feel like it could be Allen Robinson. I mean, Blake Bortles has struggled all year to get this ball to Allen Robinson, and this is a tough matchup.
Oh, yeah. 146 yards and a touchdown over the last 2 weeks. A lot of elite wide receivers do that in 1 week. It took Allen Robinson 27 targets to get there. He's playing against Houston. Houston's a top seven defense against the passing attack. Blake Bortles is probably not going to throw more than 35 times in this game with the way that Houston plays a ball control style offense. So Allen Robinson, don't buy the extra volume. It doesn't matter at this point.
What about a running back?
Running back to fade is Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard, I know everybody wants to love him after that game against Minnesota, and it was impressive. I'm a Bears fan, but I know John Fox. And don't forget that the two games prior to that, he was splitting time with Kadeem Carey. Now Jeremy Langford's back. He's healthy. He's going to ride the hot hand. But John Fox, make no mistake about it, he wants it to be a timeshare at the running back position. But don't overlook the Tampa Bay defense. Like, they're a funnel defense. They stop the run. They have Gerald McCoy, the game that he missed back in week 5, Cameron Artis Payne went for 85 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's why people think they...
Welcome back inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. This is FST Live, Fantasy Sports Today Live. Chris Meany right here with you. Thanks for taking the time to stop by. 8 games on the hard court tonight. So DFS NBA talk. We bring in DJ Trainer from RotoWire. How's it going, buddy? Welcome to Fantasy Sports Network, man.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy that NBA is back and in full swing.
Yeah, full swing is right, man. There's been some crazy stat lines from some players so far this year. One of them, Russell Westbrook. He's going tonight against the Clippers. We got LeBron James going, DeMarcus Cousins, Kawhi Leonard, John Wall, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard. There's some stars going tonight here. So we got some guys to work with. Don't come on here and tell me you're playing Russell Westbrook, man. I'm just kidding with you. But how do you feel about Westbrook tonight?
You know what's funny? The top three guys this season have been Westbrook, Harden, and Anthony Davis. And you'd think with only one of them on the slate of games tonight that, you know, I'd be leaning on him. I'm actually going to shy away from Russell Westbrook.
Nice.
He's the only player on the slate tonight that's above $10,000 on both FanDuel and DraftKings. Most importantly here is that last time out against the Clippers, he only gave you about, you know, just 46 fantasy points. And when you're paying that much, I think we could look elsewhere for a little bit more value, even though Russell Westbrook has easily been one of the best fantasy contributors this NBA season.
Are you looking at the top three then? Is it LeBron, maybe after Westbrook, is it LeBron James? Is DeMarcus Cousins another guy that you're kind of fading as well, or do you want to play him?
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually going to kind of fade Cousins tonight, too. And, you know, most nights I love him. But tonight he might actually have one of his worst matchups of the season going up against Portland. Last year he faced Portland 3 times. And he actually had the worst rebounding totals against any other team in the NBA with only averaging 6.7 rebounds per game. They're going to lock in on him. I love Cousins, and I think he can get, you know, decent output, but what you're going to have to pay for him, I'm not sure that he's actually that valuable compared to some of the other center options tonight. I mean, we've got Vucevic, Turner, Gortat, Embiid, Gobert. There's a lot of other options with better matchups that I think I'll be leaning on instead of Cousins. Still love him, though.
Yeah, Cousins getting it into with Julius Randle. I thought that was pretty funny as well. Did you think that was real? Or is that a little fake? I mean, Cousins sometimes just does that.
Yeah, Cousin gets it in with a lot of people, so I think it's real.
All right, so who's the top star that you're going to pay up for tonight then?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to the Thunder, but I'm going to be looking at their opponent and go with Chris Paul, somebody who, you know, is still going to be in that upper echelon of price, but I think he could outpace anybody. I think he can actually outpace Russell Westbrook, and you're going to be spending about $2,000 less than you would on Chris Paul than you would with Westbrook. Last time out against Oklahoma City, he gave you almost 49 fantasy points on FanDuel, and obviously he outpaced Russell Westbrook the last time they played. It's a very important game too that shouldn't be overlooked. These are two of the better teams in the West jockeying for playoff position, so I think Chris Paul will be ready. The game is in Oklahoma City, but I like him as my elite play out of all those guys we've been talking about so far.
What about the middle range? Let's take a look at some guys who are lower priced. I noticed Kyrie Irving on some sites, especially FanDuel, maybe not as high as price as maybe what he should be.
Yeah, and that's funny because, you know, when you say Kyrie Irving, you immediately think, you know, one of the better players in the NBA. And that holds true with fantasy, too. He's the eighth most expensive player on FanDuel tonight. That seems like a slight to me. If he gets word of that, he's going to go off. And I think, you know, any given night, he can go off. And what I try to do is target players in that $7,000 range. Doesn't matter if you're looking at DraftKings or FanDuel. And players that can go off, but they're still at a relatively cheap price. He's only given us less than 30 fantasy points one time this year. So he's a breakout candidate and on a cheap bargain.
Is there another player in that middle range that you're talking about? Somebody that really jumps out at you?
Yeah, definitely. So holding true with that philosophy, Avery Bradley coming in at about $6,900 on FanDuel. I believe on DraftKings, he's right at $7,000. Jay Crowder is still going to be out with his ankle issue. And Bradley has only dipped below that 30-point benchmark I like to kind of impose on all my players when determining whether or not to play them. I got to think that they're going to give me at least 30 points. And Bradley has only fallen below that once this season. You know, he's averaging almost triple the amount of rebounds that he's ever averaged in his career with Jay Crowder out. I think he's going to be one of those middle tier guys that really can break out for you going up against the Knicks tonight.
Sometimes I feel like the Celtics are a hard team to figure out. They got a lot of bodies there. They got another guy back in Kelly Olynyk. Is this somebody that you're willing to play as like maybe a value guy? And talk about him from a season-long standpoint. Is he somebody that should be picked up? Getting a lot of questions. People, should I drop Jay Crowder? It's like, no, like don't drop him. He's going to be back in a week. He's one of the guys that can fill out all categories. But now the Celtics are getting another body in Kelly Olynyk. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, you know what? In terms of daily and tonight, I like Olynyk because Horford is still out. Might be out another week or so. It doesn't matter. Tonight he's out, and they've been using Tyler Zeller. They've been using Amir Johnson perhaps a bit too much. And so the last time out from that shoulder injury, Olynyk jumped right into the fire and played 26 minutes. What that tells me, that game was a bit of a blowout at Washington, but the fact that they were willing to play him that many minutes, I think he could get quite a bit of run tonight as well against the Knicks because they just need front court help with Horford out. Oh yeah, he's $3,500 on FanDuel. He's $3,300 on DraftKings. Obviously, it's a little harder to go with him on FanDuel because you're going to have to forego Cousins and all those other centers I mentioned. But if he gives you at least 30 points at $3,500, which is a realistic possibility to me, I think that, you know, he could help you win your entire competition, especially in tournaments. Season long, I'm going to hold off, though. I don't think there's a lot of season long value. Okay. But if we're talking tonight, this Friday, I like him.
DJ, we got to get out of here. We're short for time. Thank you so much. Let's do this again soon, man.
Definitely.
All right. Take care. I'd like to thank Mike as well. I'm out of here. See you Sunday.